Over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of talk about a convention of the states, and that talk continues now, especially with the bubbling efforts to install socialist leaders around the country. Robert Nadelson is a former constitutional law professor, advisor to the Convention of the States Project. He's also the author of The Law of Article 5, State Initiation of Constitutional Amendments. And Robert Nadelson, glad you are with us here this morning. Tell me, what is Article 5 and how does it work?
Well, first, let me say I'm honored to be in Richmond. You know, some of the most important constitutional research I've done into our founding has been at the Library of Virginia and in Richmond generally. Article 5 is the provision of the Constitution that allows the Constitution to be amended. The founders recognized that if they wanted the Constitution to last a long time, it was going to have to be changeable and should respond in case there were ever abuses or changed conditions. Mm-hmm. Article 5 allows the states to approve amendments if three-quarters of the states go along. Mm-hmm. But before they can even consider a final approval or ratification of amendments, an amendment has to be proposed. And historically in our country, amendments have generally been proposed by Congress, but the founders set up an alternative mechanism whereby the states could propose through a meeting in case Congress ever became abusive or refused to pass necessary amendments. And so the Convention of States Project is about triggering that state-driven proposal process.
And who would actually attend and have a vote in this meeting if it took place?
Well, the technical name for this meeting is a convention for proposing amendments. That's the name the Constitution gives us, gives it. But we know from founding era documents and also from a U.S. Supreme Court opinion that this is a convention of states. And we've had about 40 conventions of states or before independence conventions of colonies in our history. And so we know how they work. Essentially, what happens is that each legislature decides how its state is going to be represented. They may send one commissioner to the convention, or they may send a delegation of four or five or six. And they meet. It's kind of a diplomatic meeting, almost like international law. Like, you know, imagine the Geneva Convention.
Right.
And they meet as separate sovereignties. They have one state, one vote, and they basically negotiate proposals in that format.
Mm-hmm. So that's the key thing. It's one state, one vote. You could send 10 people, but in the end, anything that was going to be decided. It's California can't overrun Virginia.
Right. In theory, the convention could change its rules. Mm-hmm. However, in the 40 some odd conventions that have occurred, that's never happened. There have been a few efforts to try to do so, but they've always failed. The conventions have always stuck to an equality of vote. The only exception was kind of an odd one, which was held among the Midwestern states in 1889, and they decided to give every state 8 votes, but it was still a matter of interstate equality.
Yeah. When was the last convention of states?
Actually, just less than 2 years ago. The last one was held in September of 2017 in Phoenix, Arizona.
And with what binding authority did that event occur? I must have been asleep at the wheel. I wasn't aware of that.
The national media gave very little attention to it. The Washington Post gave devoted one article to it, mm-hmm. and there may have been another article in the Los Angeles Times. But generally, it was ignored, which is amazing because it was the first national convention of the states since 1861 and the first that we've had of any kind since 1949. And so it really was an important event. It almost all of these conventions, it was simply there to propose. Mm-hmm. And specifically what its job was to write proposed rules for a convention under Article 5 of the Constitution should one occur. And they successfully produced a set of rules which look a lot like the rules that have been adopted by previous conventions.
And so how many states are involved in the call for a new convention of states or an additional meeting?
At this point, there were 15. This movement, the Convention of States movement specifically, hasn't been around that long. So it's done pretty well. It's nearly halfway to the 34 that the Constitution says are necessary to actually call this meeting to propose one or more constitutional amendments. I might also mention that the resolutions that these states have passed have been very carefully limited. Like all conventions of states, they are restricted by a particular agenda. And the agenda in this case is they have the power to propose constitutional amendments to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, or to impose financial restraints on the federal government, or to propose term limits on federal officials, and that's it. They can't go outside that chart.
Now, I'm guessing the success that you're talking about is in large part because national figures like Mark Levin, who hosts the national talk show, has really made that one of the issues that he has proposed over and over again. There's worry, though, I guess, if we hear about the Convention of States being a wall for socialism, but does it not have the potential to empower those who do want to disrupt American society? Right now, it seems like there's some pretty effective people who are doing just that.
No, because the state legislatures tend to be a good deal more sensible than Congress. I mean, we all have disputes with our state legislatures, but generally speaking, most state legislators are they serve a limited term. They come from common walks of life. In most states, they're not full time, and so they're better grounded than members of Congress. And you can see that in the electoral pattern. There are, as I mentioned, 15 applications out there, resolutions for the Convention of States application. There are 27 states that want a balanced budget amendment and so forth. All very sensible kinds of proposals. There are no states, with it, as far as I can determine, that have come up with recommendations that we adopt socialism. By the way, that wall against socialism phrase, that's important to explain, because if the original restrictions that were in the Constitution were still in full effect, there could be no talk of socialism at the national level, because the federal government simply would not have the power to impose socialized medicine or impose detailed regulations of the kinds that the Green New Deal requires. The problem is that the traditional safeguards had broken down. And so this is one of the reasons why George Mason, a great Virginian, proposed this Convention of States device in the Constitution's amendment process, was precisely that in case the federal government got off the wheels, the people, acting through their state legislatures, could pull it back by slapping a constitutional amendment on them and reminding them as to what their limits are.
The founders really did anticipate a lot of the problems we're seeing, because they spent so much time studying prior civilizations and saw how they destroyed themselves. I hope we'll pay attention to that. Robert Nadelson, I appreciate you joining us this morning, the author of The Law of Article 5, State Initiation of Constitutional Amendments. And of course, I'm sure you will see a big uptick in Google searches for your name and your work from our audience. I think you've probably got a prime audience that's interested in it. Thanks, Robert.
It's wonderful to be with you.